Actually, you guys can all start turning to Ephesians 2 this morning. Ephesians, if you remember the saying, go eat peaches and cream, that's Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, and Colossians. So it helps you remember where Ephesians is. So if you find Galatians or Philippians, it's one chapter ahead or behind of that. You know, the last couple of weeks we've been talking about looking at our identity in Christ and who He's made us to be, who we are because of Him. And this morning we're building a little bit on our discussion last week about how we're ambassadors representing the kingdom of God and how our desire should be that we're sold out to the kingdom. So we're here in Ephesians 2, where the Apostle Paul encourages believers in Ephesus to act the way God has made us. Ephesians 2:10 is where we're starting this morning. It's actually our main verse for what we're covering today, but it's got so much to it. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. We are His workmanship. That's our identity that we're looking at. God created us. So from a workmanship perspective, how did He create us? So yes, you could look at the physical human bodies, and those are definitely a wonder. You know, it's one of those things you think about wonders and you wonder how in the world they work. And from the engineer side of me, I look at them and I think, and how amazing they're designed. They're so complex, yet brilliantly designed. God designed us to feel pain. You know, that pain alerts our brain to say something's wrong. It warns us about something. It might be you try to pick up something a little bit too heavy and your back says, hey, that hurts, stop. You know, maybe you poke yourself and say, ouch, that's sharp. I should probably let go of it. Maybe you grab something and you feel that it's hot and you think, yep, I should have listened to my wife and used a hot pad. And, you know, that's just in how our bodies are designed. And you can go into a lot of things with our bodies, you know, about how our skin heals itself, how God designed it that way, how He made us out of dirt and breathed life into us, how He formed us in that aspect. But to me, this verse is saying much more than just the physical. It's talking about our created new self, the new man that God has made us into. Ephesians 4:24, and that you put on the new man which was created according to God, in true righteousness and holiness. Now, we started out in this series and we talked about the new man and how we're a new creation, how God created us according to Himself, how He created us in His image, in His likeness, in His righteousness and holiness. He made us to reflect Himself. He made us, our new self, to be righteous in right standing with God. To made us to be holy, be perfectly set apart. You know, we're reflecting His nature. So when people see us, they actually see Him, because all we are a reflection. See, when somebody makes something, oftentimes it has their signature on it. Something that reflects their personality, their calling card. God did that when He created us. We were created for Him. We were made to praise Him. Isaiah 43, starting in verse 18. Do not remember the former things, nor consider the things of old. Behold, I will do a new thing, now it shall spring forth. Shall you not know it? I will even make a road in the wilderness and rivers in the desert, to give drink to my people, my chosen. This people I have formed for myself, they shall declare my praise. Again, in Psalm 102:18, the psalmist says, this will be written for the generation to come, that a people yet to be created may praise the Lord. We were made in the image of Him to worship and praise Him. Everything we do can be worship when it honors Him. When we let our actions reflect the righteousness and holiness that He has given us. He's given us free will to make decisions, to choose who we will follow, to choose how we will act, what works we put ourselves towards. See, even Jesus, when He came as a man, when He came to the earth fully human, He knew that there were works to do here. John 5:36. But I have a greater witness than John's, for the works which the Father has given me to finish, the very works that I do, bears witness of me that the Father has sent me. Yes, God wants us to enjoy life that we have here on earth, but it's important for us to remember that we can enjoy it while doing the works that He's called us to do. Last week we were talking about ambassadors and the realization that they have that they are there for the kingdom that they represent. How they're sent for a purpose. Likewise, our life that we have here, we're charged to represent the kingdom in all we do. You know, Jesus sent the believers out to heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out demons. And that He said that those signs would follow those who believe. And then He continued to give us even more encouragement in saying that we would do greater things than we saw Him do. That baffles me at times, that God would want us to do greater things than Jesus Himself did while He was here on the earth. But it's so that He can get all the more glory by doing it through us. You know, I'm reminded of something that Apostle Tim Sheets says all the time. The greatest days of church history are not in our past, but in our present and in our future. Hallelujah. Hallelujah there. Holy Spirit is still empowering us today. He's still moving today. He's still working today. Even when we don't see it, God is still working. Now, I don't want to stray too far away from the main text that we're in, but the main thing that we're recognizing is that we are His workmanship. Let's look at Romans 1:20. For since the creation of the world, His invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. His invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made. Now, this phrase here, the things that are made, is the same word that we're looking at as workmanship in Ephesians 2:20. Ephesians 2:10. His workmanship is us. We were made on purpose for a purpose by God. We are able to see His invisible attributes the kingdom itself. And it's not just to sit back and receive a blessing for ourselves either, or to feel good about us. No, we're created in Christ for good works. So we were created to actually do works, to do stuff. Well, maybe, I don't understand what it means works here. So I looked it up in the Strong's Dictionary. And it says, putting in an effort or occupation, it can be an act, a deed, a doing, or a labor. This is the Greek word ergon, which of course we get our modern word ergonomics, which involves a study of jobs to make it less effort, or take less effort, to take less out on us. You might look at the height of a workbench and figure out, okay, it makes more sense for this person to be at this height because of their height. It could be looking at how somebody grips something and figure out a better way to make it so that it fits the natural motion of their hand. It's really pretty appropriate when you look at that word, both in the modern and in the Greek. And when you think about how God intended us to do work for the kingdom. See, Jesus told us that he would make, or that his yoke was easy and his burden was light. That when the work that we're doing is strengthened by God, that he lightens the load for us. When it's something that God has laid on our hearts to do as our personal work that he wants us to do, he makes it easy for us. If we're trying to do something just because we think it's something good to do, it's going to be a struggle for us if God didn't tell us to do it. If we're looking at doing something just because a fancy church on TV or online does it, but it's not something God's called for us here at New Life, we're just going to be trying to push a rope. That's why it's important for us to listen to God and hear what he wants. And just because something worked for us in the past doesn't mean that that's God's plan today. I'm thankful that we had New Life Academy here for years. And Pastor Brian Tammany, he had a heart for the school. It was something that God gave him a burden for. It was something that was a labor of love for him because he knew it was what something God was calling him to do. But if I was to pick that up and try to start that up again, without that burden that God has given me, it just would never succeed. Trust me, I would love to see it happen. One of the main search things that people land on our website for is Christian schools. Because we have the school that we had here, the academy, as part of our history on our webpage. People are looking for it. I had somebody reach out to me just a month or two ago about looking for a Christian school on Facebook. Trust me, I see a need for it. But without God giving me the burden for it, if I try to start it up just because I was thought it was something good, it would never succeed. That's where we have to pay attention to the works that God is calling each of us to do individually. And God will give you desires that he fully equips you to do. Ephesians 4, 11 and 12, a very familiar passage for many of us. And he gave himself some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers for the equipping of the saints for the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. You know, we look at this passage and see the fivefold ministry. And we think that you need to try to fit into one of those five roles that are mentioned there. To try to be walking as an apostle, a prophet, evangelist, a pastor, a teacher. But we have to let God be the one to put people into those roles. We need to let God be the one to decide what everyone's role is. But guess what? God also has the people that those apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers are teaching, that they're equipping. You know, this is verse 12 was a huge encouragement to me when I first started my walk, and I was just looking to help. I just want to help. See, verse 12 says, "For the equipping of the saints for the work of ministry." Who's a saint? All of your hands should be going up. Absolutely. If you're a believer, you're a saint. Otherwise, you an ain't. Easy way to remember it. You're a believer, you are a saint. It doesn't matter if you feel like you're a saint. You put your faith in God, you are a saint. Which means he's called us all for the work of ministry. But Pastor John, I just can't see myself preaching. Here's newsflash for you. That's not what he's called all of us to do. I never thought I would be up here in the pulpit when I was first saved. But ministry goes far beyond words to a body of believers. Ministry is wherever you go. Ministry happens outside of these four walls. It doesn't matter what your plans are, God can put people in your path for those divine appointments. You know, one of the roles that I have in my secular job is actually participating in interviews a lot of times. We evaluate engineers coming in. We evaluate other people in other roles. And I remember one interview that we had, and it was actually an encouragement to me, that he came in, and he didn't start out talking about his education, his past experience. He had to present and all that, but the first thing he said is, "I'm a Christian, I'm a husband, I'm a whatever engineering major." But he recognized something there. He recognized that first and foremost, he was a Christian. First and foremost, that's where his allegiance lied. He understood that he was there to represent the kingdom. He was there to be an effective presence, both for his employer, serving his employer, but showing the love of Christ in that role. That he's a child of God. Everything else he did followed that. That kind of witness is what God wants people to have in their workplace. God's kingdom isn't to shy away from the world. It's quite the opposite. It's to engage with it. That's why he wants the believers to be involved with everything, including politics, including government, schools, media. Every realm of workforces needs a representation of Christ in them, showing people how to live their lives. He wants us to be involved, taking light to the darkness. You might be the only interaction somebody sees with the kingdom. It's not about getting in someone's face and throwing religion at them. Most people, it takes a relationship with them to realize that there's something here, there's something different, there's something going on with them. Hey, they actually have love, joy, and peace right there with them. What's going on here? There's something different. Instead of someone getting upset and complaining about the hours or the work conditions, They see a servant's heart. They don't join into a conversation or into a gripe about something they have no skin in the game. They see somebody take accountability for something that they did instead of trying to make excuses for it. You see somebody get ahead by doing what's right instead of trying to tear down a coworker or somebody else, trying to get a promotion. See somebody that, instead of taking advantage of a system, a point system, an attendance method, they show up and do a good job. They show up and do what they were asked to be done. God wants us to do our good works to reflect His nature. As we're made in His image, we are His workmanship. You know, we've been talking about works, and we've been talking about Ephesians 2:10. But I always like to look ahead and behind every verse. We don't want to take this out of context. Let's look at Ephesians 2:8. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. So Paul sets up where he talks about us having good works and tell us that, hey, your works aren't going to be something that you should boast about. Your works aren't going to get you ahead. But because of the nature of God and who He is and Him making you, those works are something else. The works do not save us from our sin. Our faith in Jesus is what saves us from our sin. We can't earn anything from God. There ain't no special blessing that you get to earn your way into. God's grace is sufficient for us. His mercy extends to us. If we could earn our salvation, the message of Jesus and Jesus crucified means absolutely nothing. It means that Jesus isn't our Savior because we earned the salvation ourselves. Nothing could be further from the truth. Our salvation is because we put our faith in Jesus Christ. You don't have to have faith and. Faith and going on a missions trip. Faith and giving to the poor. Faith and working in the nursery. No. Faith is what gives us our salvation. Faith in Jesus Christ as the only way to be reconciled back to God is the only thing that really gets us anywhere. But because of our faith, so much flows out of that. Because of our relationship with God, He wants us, it makes us want to do those works for Him. James says it this way in James 2:18. But someone will say, you have faith and I have works. Show me your faith without your works, and I will show you my faith by my works. Our works should reflect our faith. When God shows us something, we step out. Listen to me here. When I knew God was calling me as a pastor, and then I had a prophetic word that confirmed what He was already telling me, I didn't just step back and say, okay, well, God will put me in that position then. No, He showed me that there were things that I was going to have to do in preparation for that. Don't just go, oh, okay, yep, and then just sit back and wait. No, He reveals things in the prophetic to tell us to start preparing. So I started enrolling in the schooling for the degree. I started investing financial resources in preparation for that. I started investing time in preparation for that. He called us to an action at that point. He always calls us to some kind of action when he reveals something like that. Sometimes it's something completely different, prompting us to reach out to someone who's on our heart, sometimes saying something that God told you to tell someone, to share with them. Prophetic words are usually a confirmation of something that God is telling you. And he's telling us so that we can act on it. This is something that God was showing me, and then Friday night, we'd gone up to Napanee, and Tim Sheets was ministering. And something that Apostle Tim had said Friday was, it rung true with something that I had already been hearing from God for this message. And here's what God said through him. So often, prophetic words are contingent on the ecclesia, the church's response to what he is saying. See, Jesus, when he told Peter that on this rock he would build his ecclesia, there was contingency in that. Because he continued to say, whatever he binds on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth will be loose in heaven. There's some responsibility there. We are to be binding and loosing as part of our role as the ecclesia. It wasn't just, okay, yep, it's set up, and then just whatever you want is what's going to happen. No, there's a part to it for us that God's telling us to do, for us to recognize and decree. The church must answer the call. You know, God's been telling us about restoring the seed and the song to new life, restoring the worship and the youth. And out of faith, we set up on the stage for a worship team. We didn't have anybody at the time even planning on coming in and guest ministering. We started setting up for a worship team. And then shortly after that, out of that step of faith, God revealed to us the next step. He opened up doors to show us, and we're like, okay. And then it was confirmed when we talked to the person that came back that that's where his plan was. But it took faith for him to reveal that next step. Always takes something that God's revealing to you in preparation. That's exactly what faith is. You don't need to see where you're going. You don't need to see the finish line. You don't need to know every little path you have to take. All he's looking for is for you to take that next step. To hear from him and see where that next foot needs to be placed at. But then it's up to us to actually take and put our foot in that point. All God says is take this step. And then when we do, he says, okay, now take this step. Okay, now take this step. We're never going to get there, though, without taking that step. You know, a couple of weeks ago, we went to my niece's wedding, and we stayed in a hotel, and they had an indoor swimming pool. And, of course, Gracie loves anything dealing with water. You can't get her out of it. It could be a garden hose and a puddle in the yard. She will be in that water. And we have a temporary pool set up in the backyard, but she can stand up and not have to swim if she gets tired or gets scared or whatever. Well, in-ground pool, it's got a deep end and a shallow end. She could touch in the shallow end, but the deep end was over 5 foot, so she's not 5 foot tall yet. So she started out grabbing onto the edge of the pool, went around it a few times. Before you know it, she would kind of let go, swim a little bit, reach over, grab. But she figured out she had to take that step, and then as she took that step, she built a little confidence. Next thing you know, she's standing on the side wanting to jump in. No life jacket or floaties, just wanting to jump in. Started out, she was wanting me to catch her. Okay, kind of caught her a few times. Then she just wanted for you to be there so she could push off of you to get back to the edge. But before you know it, you didn't even have to be around. She was just jumping in, turning around, swimming back to the edge. But that's the thing about faith too, though. Faith builds our confidence. We start taking a step out in faith, we have confidence that God is right there with us. That God was already preparing the way for us to go with Him there. The more we operate in faith, the more we recognize that we're hearing the instructions from the Father and we're walking in it. God is looking for us to be obedient in carrying out the works that He is downloading to us, what He's laying on our heart. Since we're His workmanship, we can be obedient in following His guidance, because He's the one who created us. Let's pray. Well, Father, we thank You for Your word. Lord, we thank You for creating us, God. Lord, we thank You that You made us in Your likeness, in Your image. Lord, we praise You for what You're doing. We praise You for who You are, Jesus. Lord, we thank You that You have equipped us for every good work. Lord, that You have enabled us to do what You are calling us to do. Lord, we pray for an increased awareness in what You are wanting for this time, what You are laying on our hearts to reflect Your goodness and Your glory. Lord, have Your way in our lives. Lord, we submit to You. Lord, we want to be obedient to Your call in what You are doing. Lord, we thank You. We praise You. We love You, Lord. It's in Your name we pray, Jesus. Amen.